Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. Can make an explosion, and all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove them all right song. My power turned up. Starting right now, I'll be strong.
Welcome to In the Know with Mo. I'm your host, Maureen Forte. Today I have a guest who is an author, first-time author, but has a lot of experience. Her name is Paula L. Evans Johnson, and she is the author of Diary of an Imperfect Girl. I want to take this time and welcome Paula L. Evans Johnson to In the Know with Mo. Good evening. You're live on the line.
Hello. Hello, it's a pleasure to be on your show, and hello, everyone out there.
And you have listeners from Chicago that are on. I want to welcome my regular callers from Cleveland and that's St. Louis, Florence, Missouri. I want to thank you for tuning in and supporting In the Know with Mo. You know, what I'm trying to do is try to highlight our local authors. We have so much talent in our area that it's just overlooked. So I just want to highlight, and I read your book. In fact, I read my daughter's book. My daughter, Melissa Forte, purchased the book, and I read her book. And I thought, oh, I need to have her on the show because it's something that needs to be shared with the people, especially young teenagers and young parents. So digging in deep to share your personal journey, you write about the Diary of an Imperfect Girl, which is a powerful, powerful piece about your life as a young teenager. So tell us something about you and what made you decide to write this memoir.
Well, first of all, I do want to give thanks to the people who was helped me put out the book. November Medium Publisher, oh, they're awesome. They helped me put the book together. The illustration was so beautiful done, and I just want to say a shout-out to them. First of all, why I decided to write this book, I had to really think about it because it was going deep into my past, and to write about it, it was very, very painful because it brought back emotion, pains, no self-esteem, and all that. And I was, you know, talking to God. You know, I believe in God and Jesus, and it just kept moving me back into writing this book. I started out with my journal. Every day I would write something about my past and what I went through during the adolescent years. And also, I see these young girls, it kind of remind me when I was back, you know, being a young teenage girl, going through adolescent. You see a teenage girl dealing with bullying, peer pressure, suicide, mental illness, weight, and all that. And I said, wow, you know, if I can write about my life and what I went through and how I got through it, maybe I can inspire other young girls.
Right, because they all have a story to tell, like In your opening, you talk about your home life, and you were raised by a single parent. How old was your mother when she had you?
My mother was, as I remember, she was 22. She was 22 years old, and she had me when, you know, she was going to school, and she ended up being a teacher. She got a bachelor's degree in teaching. But as a parent, as a single parent, and I'm going through these different changes, my mother was going through her depression, which I did not know. You know, I'm out here acting up and, you know, and doing my thing, but not knowing that she was going through her depression. And so the things that she could, you know, she did the best she could, you know, being a single parent and everything. And I never will fault her for anything, because she raised me the best way she knew how. And by being also, you know, I had my grandmother, we were staying with, you know, my grandmother and everything. And what I didn't understand about life is how, you know, like little simple things, like, you know, when you go through teenage, how do you deal with peer pressure, you know, and bullying it? Because one time I was bullying in school, and I was young. I was in elementary, and this girl who was bigger than me, taller than me, bullying me. I didn't know how to handle it. But I did learn, I do want to put out there, if you are being bullied by anybody, make sure you tell someone, because if you don't tell anyone, how will they help you? How would they know you've been bullied? And
yeah,
I know.
Going on.
And I said, you know, through my book. Yes, I said through my book. Tell, if you've been bullied, if you've been, you know, doing things that you don't feel right to you, tell someone. You know. And, you know, and in my book, I get a little more deeper because I'm talking about my life and what I went through, especially dating. Oh, wow. I really tell about my dating,
yes,
because I didn't know anything about dating, you know, a boy,
and,
you know, because, go ahead.
You know, reading your book growing up, I mean, you had a lot of your own personal identity trials and tribulations. And I mean, back in the day, dating at a very young age, because it seemed like you started dating at 14.
Yes. You know, what happened, you know, I have a group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
We all, you know, spend time with, socialize. And I seen them dating. I seen them with boyfriends. And it kind of, it's this type of peer pressure that they not pressure you, but you see it, and you don't want to be left out, and you want to be in that crowd. That's how I was. I said, oh, they got a boyfriend, you know, I want a boyfriend, but not knowing what come with having a boyfriend, you know. But, that was a kind of, you know, bad experience, but I tell in my book, yeah.
Yeah, reading your book and with you dating at such a very young age and your mom being a single parent, but your mom was grown when she became a single parent. It seems like you had, even though you were raised by your mom and Big Mama was there, it seemed like you had a lot of freedom, you know, for to be 14 years old back there. You had a lot of freedom. So, but as a teenager, you know, reading on and furthering on as you grew and got married, you went through a lot of stuff. You went through a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And just to sit down and have a town hall meeting, a round table with some of these teenagers that are out here to hear what they're going through. The domestic violence is just out of control with the young people. And as I had mentioned to you off the air, as a bilingual teacher, I had three fifth graders that were 11 that had babies in fifth grade. So, but your past is today's blessing. you know, so we have to be able to get these messages across. And even though your book is targeted for ages 14 to 18, I would like to say I would strongly recommend putting it in the schools for grade sixth grade and up, because our kids are so sexually active. The technology has taken over everything. The school systems now are often offering the students condoms in the elementary school. They're teaching sex education in kindergarten, you know. So we read your book and we listened to all the bad relationships and choices that led you to experiencing low self-esteem, emotional oppression, you know, physical abuse. So I just think it's something that I hope people that are listening will just sit down and, you know, we as parents or adults, as guardians, we have to impress upon our school system what is really needed. And this is a book that I would suggest be in the classroom. Each teacher from sixth grade should have this in their class library. It's something that needs to be read. Yeah, so I'm going to invite you to my library board meeting. We're going to purchase a couple of copies to put in our library. Because by telling your story, like you said, you hope to inspire and encourage teenage girls who are going through the same situation. And nothing has really changed. I mean, this is back in the day when you came up, but it's happening even worse now, today. So what do we do? Where do we go from here?
Yes, I've seen that. You know, I work in the school myself, and I've seen, you know, little things that, you know, I've seen in the hallway that, okay, you know, a boy, you know, be playing around and going on, and the girl said, oh, you know, but it come to a point that a boy should not even hit, I mean, not even play with a girl like that, you know, and the girl think it's play, you know, but it can be, you know, physical, you know, abuse. And these girls take it for granted. You know, they think it's cute, but in the long run, it's not cute for a boy to hit you, you know. Even though they might be playing and stuff, but hit you outside your head, come on, that is not cute, you know.
No, so it's not cute about that.
Right, you know, I see that. I said, no, you know. They're just not, you know, but it just come to a point where one of the reasons I also wrote in the book, my mom, she never told me anything about, you know, life, boys, which is I did not know. But at the same time, I was 14 years old. She probably never thought you'd talk to me about, you know, life, you know, as dating. And so what I learned in the streets, which is, that's another thing. See, one thing parents should know about their kids is you have to talk to them. Time of day, it's time to talk to your young girls and tell them they are beautiful. They, you know, they have a purpose in life. See, I did not have that. I didn't have that encouragement or anything. I don't blame my mom because she did the best she could. She a beautiful woman. She was beautiful. But a lot of time being a parent, you know, you have to talk to your kids. You have to tell them, hey, this is what's going on. It's okay to be smart in school, but also out in the street, you need to be street smart too.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So, I mean, you want both, you know, and you just don't, I don't know, and teach your child, and I always tell your daughter, well, she's beautiful, you know, you love her, and ask her what's going on in school. Don't be afraid to talk to, you know, me about anything, you know, have that comfortable, that she be comfortable to tell you everything. Because a lot of times, you know, they don't want to tell the parents because they might get upset. So you have to have an open mind at the same time, you know, listen, and then, you know, then go from there. But yeah, I just, you know.
Well, with your mom being a single parent, maybe she didn't have anyone to tell her. Now, was your mom a single parent by choice? Was she involved in the relationship? Was there a father there in the home? You know, there's a lot of questions because, see, you can't put a lot of doubt and misunderstandings on you because, see, you're saying your mom didn't tell you, but your mom might not have known either. Just because you live with Big
right.
Mama, Big Mama might not have told her, and that's how she became a single parent.
Right.
So
right.
That's maybe a part two story that has to be told, because sometimes our parents, because I'm a single parent, but I was married. I'm a single parent by divorce, but I raised two girls, and I've been divorced now 42 years, and it's difficult. It's difficult. And I'm one, you know, if either one of my daughters, even today, and they weighed wrong, tell me something happened, I'm right there on the case. And the people that I'm going to be on the case with may not like it, but it's rough. It's hard being a single parent. It's hard being a single parent, raising children, living in our society. And like you said, your mom didn't know. She was depressed, and you out here being a wildflower. You just out here enjoying
right.
yourself, you know, growing up. But one thing about it with you growing up, you didn't get pregnant or have any children until you got married.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you were not just book smart, but you were seriously street smart, too, at the age of 14.
Yes.
So it's
but
so much
that's
going
another story
on
about
children.
Before I got married. It's another story behind that, but with my father, see, another thing I also say in my book, with my father, how I met my father, it was so crazy how I met him, and I really didn't know too much about him, and when he introduced himself to me, yeah, I was in shock. I was running, you know, like I said, you got to look, read the book to understand what I'm talking about my father.
Right.
I don't give you too much on it.
Right,
but
right,
yeah,
right.
And
but
I ran home and told my mom.
Buy the book. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And it just, you know, to have that father figure, or not even a father figure, that uncle, that, you know, that cousin, a man figure in the house. See, I did not have that in my home, you know, but at the same time, you know, like I said, my mom, she did the best she could. She very church. I mean, she used to play in the church. She played the piano. Very talented, smart lady. But, you know, at the same time, I had all this stuff going on, even my weight. I don't want to tell too much about that. I even talk about how about my weight, how I dealt with mental illness in the home. That had an effect on me. So it's just a lot of stuff that, you know, any teenager, I say girl because I'm a girl, that's what I'm talking about, that you never know what's going on in that home. So, you know.
And the same thing, too, with boys, with this new sexology situation that we're living in. Even though your book is focusing on the diary of an imperfect girl, your story, but there are young men out here with the imperfect life. You know, they, you know, the sexuality, whether they want to be he, him, or she, her, you know, it's a whole situation. But this going back to church, you know, church played a big role in our lives growing up, you know, because church was a safe haven. It was the educational vehicle for not just the children, but also for parents, you know. And I really wish all the churches would open up all their doors today so people can get back into the teachings of Christ. And that would help with a lot of relationship, painful relationships. But as you say in your book, you need to love yourself and don't worry about what people say, because no one is perfect.
No one is perfect.
So tell us how we, the listening audience, can purchase your book. Where can they find your book?
Well, you can go on Amazon.com and just type in the title of the book. It should come up in Barnes and Noble and .com and put in the title, she'll come up, and that's how you can purchase my book.
We have a caller on the line. Let's see if this caller wants to talk. Good afternoon, caller. You're live on the line. Would you like, you have comments for our author? Last number is 5621, caller. Okay, I think the caller is just listening. Okay, hi there. You're live on the line with author Paula Evans. Do you have a comment for her?
Yes, actually that's my mother, so I'm definitely supporting her book. I am excited to read her book, so just supporting, so yeah.
And you know what, and that's the best support.
Thank you.
Because if I would not have known about this book if my daughter Melissa hadn't mentioned it. She said, oh, I got this book. Remember my friend girl, her mother wrote a book? I said, yeah. So I read the book, and I said, oh, I need to have her on the radio. And so, I mean, the board is packed. Sharon from Chicago just sent a text message and said she just ordered it off of Amazon while she was online. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you. And another thing, you know, another thing, when I wrote this book, I didn't know how people would take it, you know, would they judge me, you know, because of the things that I put, you know, in the book. So I just stepped out on faith and trusting God and just did it.
Well, you know what you have, this is a statement I got out of your book. And you're talking about worrying about somebody judging. You said, and I'm quoting what's in your book, you need to love yourself and don't worry about what people say. Always remember that no one is perfect. Dream dreams with a purpose. Never give up and always put God first in your life. So you're right to educate and elevate the minds of our future leaders or our leaders now, because right now the whole world is just turned upside down. And I think it's a good read. It's an easy read, and it's all about sharing some knowledge. And it would be interesting to see how many young people, if we can get a form, for, you know, of young teenagers. We have a lot of young teen parenting out here to see what would be their story. Because this is your story, but I'm sure they have a story to tell.
Yes.
I want to thank your daughter for calling in, too. So if anyone is interested in contacting you to sit down and have a meet and greet or to sit down and have a small forum probably after the holidays, how could they get in touch with you? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, I do have my email, paulinejohnson919@gmail.com. You can contact me through my email.
Okay. And are you on any social media? Because this is, you are on Instagram.
Or Facebook.
This thing here is on Instagram. Okay. Well, this is a good one. So when's the next book coming out? I know this is the first one.
I have to get through the first one first.
Well, this is good.
But
this is a good book.
Yeah.
And hopefully by the first of the year, we can reach out to some of the, you know, I'm willing to help you, too, to reach out to some of the libraries to get your book on the shelf, because the libraries, they do have a budget, and they need to invite the local artists, authors in the area, because we have so many libraries. Each one of our communities have a library system, because I'm over the library district in my town. So the books need to be on the – I mean, if we keep promoting you, I can see it being a number one seller, because it's a story that needs to be told. It needs to be read. And I can even see you doing an audio book on this. Have you thought that far in advance?
Wow.
It's something to think about. Because right now we're living,
but
you know, young people, they don't want to read, but they'll listen. So we had to find out how to get into
it. But first, I do want to tell you, me and two other women, we've been doing this for four, 105 year. We do mentor young girls from 13 on up to 19. So we are in the library in our community. So we decided to do that, and, you know, that's our passion. And the name of it, Girls with Dreams. And we are, you know, that's what we're doing right now. You know, like I said, you never know what God has plans for. I never thought I would be mentoring young girls and then writing a book, you know.
Right.
It's amazing, yeah.
So you're mentoring girls now in one of the local libraries? So
yes,
maybe by the
yes.
first of the year we can have you back on to talk about the mentoring program, because that's what that, you know, a lot of the young girls and young men, they need someone to listen to. They need someone to share their story because a lot of information and concerns are missing. You know, last week I've had on my show Power of Women, which is located in Park Forest, collecting Stop for Katie. And they have been collecting socks, and I talked with the consulate of Haiti, and we're going to be donating, doing Kwanzaa, the first day of Kwanzaa, the 26th, Umoja. And so I'm going to send you that information so you can come out and network, too, with that group.
Well,
we're coming to the end of our show. See how fast a half hour goes.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to give you the closing lines of Diary of a Imperfect Girl. If you have any last words of what we can tell, you can tell us. And even if you want to share information on your mentoring program on how people can get involved with that, because the holidays seems to be a very depressing time for young people and for some that are not young.
I just want to leave a word that's saying that, you know, as, you know, as youth, anything going on with you, anything that you feel is not right, make sure you tell someone. It's so important to tell someone and let them know what's going on and not wait to the last minute. And with the mentoring group, me and two women, Linda and Jennifer, I'll mention their name, just the first name, because all three of us, we started this group. This mentor group, and we actually, it's a nonprofit organization. We have the 501c3, and we be at the library, Matheson, they said, yeah, the Matheson public library on the first and third Saturday of each month. We be at the library from 11 to 1 o'clock.
What time is that?
It's 11 a.m. to 1 o'clock.
Okay. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to take the time. I want to thank you. I want to thank Sharon. I want to thank the listening audience from Kansas and Cleveland and Arkansas, and I've got one from Oklahoma and Missouri. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. And if I don't talk to you, I want each and every one of you in the listening audience to have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday to you and your family. Author Paula L. Evans Johnson, I want to thank you for being on In the Know with Mo. And until then, stay focused and be blessed.
Thank you.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud today. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight. My love. everybody.